Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, August 27th, 213th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Sunny Fortuna. Of course, it's not really that unique today, is it?
We've had a lot of sun this year.
Yeah. Okay. Very Sunny Fortuna City Manager, Regan Candelaria. Hey, guy.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
You're just kind of really trying to say that you guys are just a step ahead of the rest of us, huh?
I don't know. That's what I'm told by other people in the county with the sun anyway, so that's good. And we're working on the friendly part as well.
Yeah.
Trying to make sure that's still a part of our deal.
There we go. Well, we'll talk about friendliness. And also, there's a couple of months left of dry weather. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of projects that Regan's got out on the calendar to try to bring in before, to bring home before the weather turns. How's that?
Sure.
Okay.
I can share some of those projects.
I know there's almost a joke in there somewhere, but I'm too shot now. I can't figure that one out. So I'll see if I can find my funny bone when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. But before we do our quote this afternoon, let's see. I'm looking for somebody who I would recognize. Huh? Not on that page.
You only have four books to choose from.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Here's a really weird one. Roy Blount Jr.
Okay.
I don't recognize his name either. I prefer my oysters fried. That way I know my oysters died.
Mm.
Pretty heavy, huh?
Well, he probably doesn't frequent sushi restaurants then if he make sure that's fried.
Probably hasn't been a concern either at the Ye Old Ranch. I think most beef is well dead by the time it...
Yes.
Yeah. You city slickers, sometimes we have to connect all the dots for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay.
Give me as many dots as you have.
Yeah. Infrastructure, I know, is something that a lot of folks really kind of see as snoozy time. Because we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't touch it. Yeah, Carol Weish is in, Dave Hall's in, and they'll say, yeah, but when you turn on the water... Uh-huh. Fawcett, you expect, and that's about as much interaction as most of us want to have also, frankly. When you are taking a significant investment like infrastructure is,
uh-huh,
to the public and public hearings, is there any way to make this an ooh and ah, a big excitement, something that the gang rallies around and waves flags and says, great job, Reagan. That's that way to go, buddy. Or is it just one of those things that it is?
I think it's just one of those things. And that's unfortunate because some of the bigger projects that we do in the public sector are kind of exciting from, you know, a different perspective. Yeah, you want to make sure that your toilet's going to flush and that you, when you turn on the tap to boil some water, you know, that's there and that's the basics. But
You don't have to boil your water in Fortuna, do you?
Well, when you want to make some good pasta, yeah. You know, get it boiling and put
the... I see. The culinary reference back to our oysters. Okay, I'm with you.
Okay. The projects themselves are pretty unique. One of the ones that we have coming up that I mentioned to you earlier is our Pressure Zone 3-5 Intertie project. And it's kind of a cool name in itself right there, but... You know, what does that really mean to anybody? I don't know, other than some engineers might recognize that. But what we're doing is we're making sure that we have enough water pressure in different parts of the city. We have different pressure zones. These are two of our main ones up in the hills, pressure zones 3 and 5, that we're bringing back together because we had an old tank, an old elevated water tank that, you know, isn't performing anymore and has some issues. And so it's coming out of commission. So by tying these two water zones together with this big, you know, CIP project, is going to be a great benefit to the city.
In the old days, was everything gravity fed associated with water?
Ooh, you know, that's probably a little out of my area. You'd probably have to talk to one of our engineers.
You see some of the elevated
that.
Water tanks. Okay, and it's always kind of been a mystery. Okay, how'd the water get up there? Unless it's coming from a really high mountain somewhere really close. And you know, you see the rivers, and most times the rivers are lower level, lower elevation than what the population center is. So just kind of, for the simple-minded in the crowd, you know, we look at it and go, okay, that's tall and that's shallow, and it just kind of goes downhill.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I should really let the engineers discuss that, because I'm probably going to get things wrong, and I know my guys are going to give me grief later for even...
Well, that's appropriate. That means they're listening and they care. Yeah.
But I think in general, we kind of pump the water, you know, to get it into those elevated tanks, and then from there, it serves as the pressure, you know, coming back down to feed all the lines for distribution.
The storage tank itself, some are metal, some are wood, some leak, some don't. Is there a concern that some of the joints, some of the rivets or the nails or the bands or whatever might be holding it in place, that those fatigue and the unit can actually fall apart?
Yeah, actually, over time, that is a concern. And we have a regular annual maintenance program for all of our tanks, existing tanks, to do those inspections and make sure that things are, you know, progressing the way they need to be or get them maintained properly. We also have a significant expense on a regular basis to check those and make sure that the protections to guard against rust and all of that are maintained. There's even, I understand, in some of the bigger metal tanks, there's a whole section that is there to rust in lieu of the actual structure itself. And
like an inside shell?
Yeah, I believe they call it the carthotic protection, and that's the section that you want to keep, you know, in good condition, and it's kind of like the liner before you actually get to the tank itself. Because if you start having trouble out there, then, you know, there can be some major problems and some major costs associated with that.
So it's like a double-hull ship.
Yeah. Also. Yeah, that's a good example.
Reference. How much water is needed?
Ooh. That's funny you ask that. I actually have a number in my head. I think our annual pumping capacity is about 435 million gallons per year for the city to service all of our, you know, almost 12,000 residents and businesses in town.
So about 1.25 million gallons a day?
Capacity. You're good with math. If you look at our treatment plant, the amount of water that we're processing is right about that number that you mentioned, you know, up to, you know, 1 million to 1.25 per day that we're processing. So whatever's coming through the system, then we, you know, deal with it on the way out as well. And so you kind of, those two numbers are fairly similar, what goes in, you know, and then we measure with our meters what we're processing at the plant.
Hopefully what goes in comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's less. Sometimes it's more. Actually, that's one of our major issues during the wintertime is how much just enters in that's not supposed to.
Stormwater. Hey, KINS, yeah. News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
I like it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, as you're looking at infrastructure, is a general topic, general thing. We kind of talked about some of it. But I think the numbers get silly stupid for a lot of us really quick. Okay, we can probably track you to maybe $2 million. Okay, beyond that, you know, it's like, and we just melt down. When you're looking at an infrastructure reinvestment,
right,
even for a small little town here in our area, what number is the starting spot where you try to figure out, okay, is it going to be more than this? What's the high-low number?
Well, the projects range in, you know, in complexity all up and down the board. The one we've talked about recently was our big Stewart Street tank project, which was a $4 million project. Now, if you're only getting lost at $2 million, this is only twice as big. But to me, that is a pretty huge project, and it's big on our scale for a city of, 12,000 people. We have others. The one we're talking about today, the Pressure Zone 3-5 project, which is about a $500,000 project. They're both very important to the city, but, you never know. You could get down to a project, where we're working on some drainage in town that's on our CIP that's about a $35,000, $40,000 project to fix a localized situation in one commercial area. But that's huge to somebody and those businesses that work there. So it's a whole range of things, and there's different interests that determine whether the $4 million project is the big one and one everybody's concerned about. It could be the $35,000, $40,000 one, that's really important to a lot of people that want to talk about it.
Are you able to personalize infrastructure?
Well, I try to keep it, when you say personalize, I just throw the term the city or the organization, the entire community together, because I want to talk about all 12,000 people that are benefiting from that Stewart Street tank project. Those extra 2 million gallons of water that are there available and to help fight fires and make sure we have the water pressure to fight fires and so that, all the infrastructure is working for all the homes. I mean, that's an entire city benefit. I try to keep them all in that vein. It's all for the entire city.
What I was thinking, because of the challenges in the rate increase a couple of years ago.
6 years ago.
That's a couple of years ago for those of us on a certain side of 30.
Okay.
Smart guy. It's all percentages, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So a couple of years ago. People, I think, are still looking for their value. Okay, now we're buying this. We're choking it out. Okay, what does it mean to me? I've always thought, and I've never run into a city that has done this, and maybe the water district will do it. But you had alluded to the fire guys. Mm-hmm. You had alluded to the storekeepers. You had alluded to the individuals and the schools. And have them do a campaign and say, this matters to me as a fire. This matters to me as a school. This mm-hmm. matters to me as a business, as an employer, as an employee, as mm-hmm. somebody who's grown. And try to personalize it. That put faces. And I know it's really tough to put faces on concrete.
Right.
Well, unless you happen to be Italian. Yeah, that's the other side of the country. I think I'm safe in saying that.
Yes. Yeah, you're right, though. Those partners are important. And to help put a face on projects and the importance of, the funding of these projects to make sure they happen. The other part of that that makes it difficult is, for instance, I'll just use that Stewart Street as an example again. The tanks that were there prior were there for about 100 years serving their community. And a lot of people don't think about it that way. And like you said, you just want the tap to work when you turn it on. You don't really pay attention. And this new $4 million project that has $2 million, it's doubled that capacity, we hope will be in service for another 100 years. And so you try and put a face on it. But, after 10 years, after 5 years even, people aren't going to really remember much about that. So it's hard to put a face on a public infrastructure project. But they're important, and you want them to last for a very long term.
What is the next significant project or the other one that you're trying to sneak in before the weather changes?
I don't know that we're trying to sneak one in before the weather changes. We have a few things scheduled. A couple are going to be bumped till next spring, but we're going to get the engineering done and make sure that we're ready to go when the weather's good again for construction projects. The one that's the most important that I didn't mention yet, but it's really trying to get prepared for a new permit at our wastewater treatment plant in 2016. That's a few years away, but they come up quick, and we need to make some significant changes to make sure that the work that we're doing out there now gets upgraded and improved to meet the state's requirements for water. So that's a big project for us right now.
I would think that would be tough because whatever you're doing today has to dovetail into tomorrow. Whatever tomorrow is, those two have to dovetail into the next days and keep everything up to code and up to snuff and working together.
You're right. That is one of the toughest things because sometimes, as we know, the state, they make different changes and we can't always know what's happening in 2016. So we're trying to be prepared for everything that could happen and make sure that we'll be responsible with our facility.
If you let a contract today, even though it didn't start till the 16, would you be able to bring it in under today's requirements, or would you have to comply to 16s?
Comply to 16. And they want to see that we're working now to meet whatever they come up with in 2016.
Even though you don't know what the goal is that you're working
well,
towards.
Well, we know they're going to have stricter requirements for our effluent. And, you know, they want to see it cleaner and better. And
I thought you were almost at a zero now.
We have pretty good, you know, effluent coming out of our treatment plant. But if
they want
you look
fish
at,
to migrate up the water treatment.
Okay. You know, if you look back, one of our presentation models, we have a simple graph, and it's a direct line up in terms of the requirements that they put on us.
It's 3:30.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fortuna's City Manager, Regan Candelaria. Regan, you guys in Fortuna, the folks in Fortuna, do an awful lot of effort to cultivate tourism.
Whether
it's relocation within the county, come move to Fortuna, we're happy, happy, happy here. Or whether it's the traditional tourist, you know, blowing through town and stopping by. How do you, as someone who's not a tourist expert, know if the tourist expectations are being met, and then if the tourism industry is meeting your expectations?
Wow, that's a good question. We have a pretty active tourism committee of our Chamber of Commerce, and our focus there is trying to get people to stay overnight in town and utilize the resources that we have in town. I don't know that we have a lot in place right now to judge our effectiveness or our efficiency, but this committee, I'll bring that to them at our next meeting because I'm sure that's some data that they would love to have to be able to judge their, you know, their success. But really what we're just trying to do is make as many amenities as possible in Fortuna to encourage people to stay over. We have a few community events. We have some pretty successful ones that I know you're aware of, you know, the Rodeo and Auto Expo. We just had Hops and Humboldt last weekend, which was, you know, again, very well attended. I think that we do have some people coming from out of town to attend that event. We have microbreweries from all over the state that show up to share their beverages and what they're doing. So that's a good thing. But we're also trying to expand throughout the year and have more of a full calendar where, you know, we have at least one major event each month that will bring people into town and to help, you know, fill up those hotel rooms and create those, you know, transient occupancy taxes.
And sales tax.
And sales tax. When they're in town, yes, they're
gas tax.
They're contributing to the community. Yep.
That's been one of my grinds for, I guess I could say decades now, couldn't I? Yeah, cool. For decades, is that tourism is only judged based on lodging tax.
There's a lot of other ancillary benefits. Yes.
And the thing that I would contend would really be one of the critical ones is if somebody relocates their business here. Their experience was that positive. The community was that positive. The culture was that welcoming. That kind of getting away from the individual but kind of referencing something a little bit larger. Is there any town in the state or in the country that you're aware of that tries to convert tourists into business relocation?
Not that I'm aware of. That's an interesting concept. That last question that you were asking me, I thought you were kind of starting to lean towards a webinar that I know a few cities attended along with the county last week from the Alliance for Innovation. They were talking about kind of a scorecard issue for communities, quality of life.
Kind of like off the old Main Street program?
Well, this organization, Alliance for Innovation, have created these, they call them a handprint. It's basically a scorecard. It says, how does your community do in terms of education, in terms of nightlife and activities, in terms of, you know, job creation and, you know, all of those types of things. There's like a whole set of about 6 or 7 indicators, and then you try and judge your community, and then you use that to score yourself. And then you utilize that to do some of your business attraction and business retention efforts and tourism. And, you know, you use that to say, oh, God, we're really lacking in this area. We need to beef that up. Then we'll be a more rounded community to help with business relocations and their desire to be in our community. So it's a good tool to have. If you understand where you're at, you know, then you can focus on your strengths a little bit and make them better, or really take care of some of the deficiencies as well.
As long as you're honest with yourself.
That's a key, yes.
Yeah. We've both been down that trail, huh? Seen what people think is good, and we don't. Is there any concerted or ongoing effort to get businesses to locate in Fortuna?
Well, we just really would like to do that, but we don't have a lot of staff or time to devote to that. We are a small city with a limited staff. I do what I can. I've started a business retention program, which is a very simple model that I did back when I started basically as my first job in government. So I've tried to bring that to Fortuna. I'm trying to train a couple staff under me to kind of take that role on, because really it's customer service is what that is. Making sure that the businesses are there happy and have the things that they need to prosper and grow and hopefully expand a little bit.
So how do you know if you're hitting that one?
Well, you'll know on that one, you know, when you get some positive feedback, and it'll come through the city council, it'll come through the Chamber of Commerce, it'll come through our Fortuna Business Improvement District. You know, people like to know that you care about them and that you value their business. So making that effort is very important, and you will get feedback on that. The other side of that economic development is doing the attraction that you're talking about, trying to bring new businesses in town. And, you know, those are, I guess, easier to quantify and say, okay, yeah, we have a new business, the Funky Monkey over there at Riverwalk Drive. You know, we've got a new Hoppy's frozen yogurt shop right downtown next to Strell's Shoes on Main Street at 12th. You know, so there's a few things coming in. We understand there's a new lease for a new pizza restaurant at Newburgh and Fortuna Boulevard. So, you know, having that go through is something that's easy to quantify, and I think the community recognizes that at least some people see the benefit of being in Fortuna and that there is a little bit of a market there. You know, we have another one coming into town, too, that's going to be a place to watch football games and to gather and enjoy some TV and maybe a beer and wine at Strong's Creek Plaza. there's a sign up in the window for their permit for that. So anyway, there's a few good things coming on that.
Bet you they got crackers and sandwiches, too.
I sure hope so. I want to be able to enjoy the game with a nice beer and, you know, a burger or whatever.
KINS, News and Information Times 342. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Regan, tourism is one thing when it's attracting people from out of the area. Would you accept the definition of tourism also being attracting people from within the area?
I think so. I agree with that. You know, if you have positive events and, you know, interesting activities for people to enjoy, you know, that I think that's great. One of the new ones that is just being created, it'll be a first-time event sponsored by our Fortuna Sunrise Rotary Group. It's going to be in October on the 26th. It's a bocce ball tournament, and I know that's starting to get real popular in this county. There's a few cities that have some really nice courts. Fortuna just built 3 new courts last year.
With the oyster shells?
No, we don't. We have crushed granite right now. We may do one more layer of that, but we're not sure. At this point, they're working well with the crushed granite.
It's like AstroTurf.
Oh, no. It's not that nice.
AstroTurf to grass as...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I see where you're going there. But these courts are brand new, and not a lot of people know about it in Fortuna. So
is
we're going to do...
It's
at Rohnert Park, right next to the rodeo grounds, and they're very nice courts. And so the Sunrise Rotary is going to help us do like a little dedication of the courts. And their interest is in public safety and recognition of the efforts of our public safety organizations. So they want to combine these two events. So we're going to facilitate a little bocce ball tournament amongst the different organizations. It's going to be the sheriffs, we hope, have a team, and the ambulance crew, and of course our firefighters and the police department. And so we'll put together a little tournament. They want to do a barbecue and appreciate the efforts of public safety. And then we'll have like a little championship game and dedication of the new bocce ball courts.
You're not going to have a county league?
I mean,
I could see something like that really being cool because anybody can do it.
A county league?
League. Yeah, bocce ball league. I mean, if you guys got three or four courts or pits or whatever they're called.
I think they're courts. It's a,
okay.
You know, a big rectangular
area.
It's a box.
For me to see it, but yeah, I know that there's...
Yeah, there's courts in Ferndale. Of course, they have a big fundraiser event that's coming up on September 7th that their Kiwanis there in Ferndale have been sponsoring, and I know that's a big fun event. There's courts, I believe, in Blue Lake and a couple other cities.
Yeah, Imperial Park has got a... He's got it out of Redwood Fields. I mean, there's a number of them.
Yeah, the Times just did an article about bocce and how interactive it is for people, and people of all levels can play and all that type of thing.
You can't get too hurt.
Yeah.
As long as you remember to release ahead of you instead
yeah.
of behind
don't,
you.
Don't be standing in front of somebody that's about to throw a ball.
Yeah.
In. So anyway, we're looking forward to that. It'll be a nice, fun event, and it's always great to recognize the efforts of our public safety personnel.
Those are, the kind of fun things that keep a character of a small town.
Yeah, definitely. And the Sunrise Rotary really want it to be a focused on a family event. They want people, all the public safety personnel to bring their families and enjoy the barbecue and enjoy the park and, you know, have a good time.
Well, maybe we'll get a press release or we'll hear something about that as it gets closer.
We definitely will. Mr. Fennell was one of our Sunrise Rotary members who's kind of taken the lead on this project, and he works for the Times Standard, and he's going to be putting out some information. It's going to be open to the public as well as the, you know, participants in the bocce ball tournament because they want everybody to show up and be able to, you know, I guess, you know, also recognize and pay their respects to the public safety personnel.
Do you think he understands the power of radio?
I would assume
you might
he does.
Want to remind him of that.
Okay.
Now that you're, you know, a radio celebrity yourself.
Oh, celebrity, yes.
Yeah, you gotta carry the water for us, man.
Well, my wife said she enjoyed listening, but other than that, I don't know if anybody else does.
You notice how I brought a full circle back to the water?
Oh, nice job.
Yeah. Totally lost on you, though, wasn't it?
You mentioned the word celebrity. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. The head swells up and
you're
focusing
anymore.
On the wrong thing. Okay. Fine. I think we're done.
Great.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you for having me again.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.